Welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode 51 for November 11th, 2009.
Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm Scott Juster.
I'm George Alvor.
We are the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com, website we created and dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and culture. And today, there was a big bombshell dropped.
A big fat news.
There is a new DS on the horizon, and it is going to be bigger and badder than ever.
It's lumbering towards us. It's imminent.
Absorbing everything that comes in its way. It's the DS. Well, I mean, in Japan, they're calling it the DSLL.
But that's, it probably stands for something in Japanese.
That we don't know. Possibly perverted. I don't know.
Who knows?
In the English-speaking regions, they're calling it the DSXL.
Extra large.
Extra large, because this thing is huge. So the screens have been upped to 4.25 inches. And there's some cool... We'll put up a... Joystick had a cool overlay of the DSi and the DS Lite versus the DS XL, just kind of laying them on top of each other to see the difference.
Yeah, and let me say right now, 4.25 inches doesn't sound like a lot, but the thing looks like a behemoth. It's gigantic.
It looks like a book, basically.
Yeah, and it's thicker, too.
It's thicker. The pen, the stylus, actually looks like a pen.
Yeah.
Rather than a mini Palm Pilot stylus, this thing looks like a fountain pen.
It's really ugly. It really is. Yeah,
well, it's not... ugly, it's just chubby.
Fat things need loving too, Scott.
It's just big boned.
It's just big boned.
I mean, it's still it's about the same thickness.
It's a little bit thicker.
Slightly, but I mean, in comparison to the width and the height, yes. I mean, it's which suggests to me that maybe the pen doesn't fit in it anymore.
It didn't look like it from it's too big for even its own pen.
Yeah,
it's probably clips onto the side.
And then your belt. So we just wanted to take this as an opportunity to check in with our handheld habits and kind of take stock of what we've been playing and what we think we'll be playing in the future. I have never really been a huge handheld player. My parents refused to buy us... my brother and I, they refused to buy us handheld gaming devices because they thought it was kind of antisocial. Like, they would buy us consoles and stuff because it's like it's a public thing. Like, you're in there, there's a TV that everyone has to gather around to interact with each other.
Yeah.
But with a handheld, you're just kind of off in your own world.
I buy that logic.
I mean, I was pissed as a kid, but looking back on it, it's like, oh, there's a certain amount of sense that that makes. But now that I'm an adult, I can play the DS as long as I want.
Amen. Yeah.
So I've actually been playing some DS as of late. What have you been favoring?
I've been playing the new Super Mario Brothers.
Oh yeah,
on the DS, and it's a lot of fun. I mentioned it the other day. I thought it was really hard, and you ridiculed
me. I scoffed
for my noob status.
I really think. I mean, I don't know if you've done this yet, but have you fired up the original Super Mario Brothers since I told you about that?
No.
I really feel like if you played Super Mario Brothers 1, you would think less of new Super Mario Brothers as far as difficulty.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Anyway, okay, so you've been playing DS?
Right.
And I played that through PAX, actually. I brought my brother's DS to PAX, and on the plane and stuff, I was playing through new Super Mario Brothers. Excellent.
Yeah, it's really solid.
Yeah. It really does... I mean, this sounds really stupid to say, but it really does feel like a new Super Mario Brothers. It has that same kind of physics. It has the skidding. It has the power-ups. I mean, just updated for our sensibilities.
I totally agree. Yeah. And it makes me really excited for the Wii version.
Oh, man.
Coming out in, like, a week, I think.
Four-player new Super Mario Brothers. Sounds amazing.
It's pretty fun. I've also been playing some iPhone games. Rolando came out with almost, like, DLC. Like,
You just download
episodic,
new map?
Episodic content, yeah. So I've been playing a couple of those.
Wait, what do you mean by episodic stuff? What does it do?
You buy like segments of the game, and then the story will continue. I mean, it's like it says episodic.
Oh, okay.
Rolando content.
I didn't even know Rolando had a story.
Yeah, apparently, for people who don't know, Rolando is this game that you kind of move circular balls around a two-dimensional map to get them to the exit.
Yeah, and it relies on the tilt sensitivity of the iPhone.
And
yeah.
Then it was a while ago, but I picked up this game called Hi, How Are You?
Mm-hmm.
And it's based off of a Daniel Johnson... I mean, it's a game that's based off of Daniel Johnson's work, and he's a singer-songwriter who's still around, but, you know, he's had a lot of crazy issues. Mm. And there's... It plays some of his music in the background, but there's no real purpose. It's kind of like a weird platformer.
Oh, okay. So that's it's a platformer.
Yeah, it's bizarre because it's based off of the artwork of this one individual.
I remember he got a lot of more mainstream recognition after that movie came out. Yeah,
The Devil and Daniel Johnson.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I don't have an iPhone, but you had your DS before you had an iPhone.
That's right.
Have you felt like your DS play has been leveling off since your iPhone purchase?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the reasons that I tend to play less handhelds, or I tend to be playing things on the iPhone, is just it's so much more accessible to experience new content.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are games on the iPhone tend to be very cheap, if not free.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes there are demos, so I can check out a game, you know, on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
I usually actually go on a kick, right? So maybe on a slow Thursday afternoon, mm-hmm. I might download 6 different games or free games, mm-hmm. check in every now and then on the iPhone, see what's new,
yeah.
play some of them, maybe get one of them and actually play through the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes like that in a cycle.
Mm.
For the DS, I kind of have to go to my GameStop,
yeah.
and, you know.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ooh.
I was thinking about this because in context of the DS XL announcement, because... You know, every once in a while, when I come over, I grab your iPhone and see what you have on it. I have a really hard time playing the Twitch-based iPhone games, like the, the Neo Space Invaders. Oh, no, not Space Invaders. I guess it is the Neo Space Invaders. It's the top-down scrolling shooter.
Space Invaders Infinity Gene Remix.
Yeah, I mean, that's close enough. Whatever. I mean, like, it's a shoot 'em up.
It's a fantastic iPhone game, yeah.
See, It didn't grab me right away because I can't.
You've just got fat fingers, Scott.
I don't. I have very small hands. Like, it's weird because my hands are not large, and so I'm always surprised at how much difficulty I have playing handheld games because I feel like my fingers are in the way.
But see, this is a problem that arises with the DS too, and this is just the plague that troubles handheld games in general. Right? It's difficult to maneuver the control of a character in such a small space.
Mm-hmm.
That's partly why I think people might be into this XL version.
Well, because like going back to the Space Invaders iPhone game, you control it with your finger on the screen, moving your ship back and forth, which is fine, except when sometimes you want to go forward or up screen, and so you have to move your finger a little bit up screen, which puts more and more of the back of your hand over the screen.
Yeah.
I'm not even fighting with the software at this point. My own body has betrayed me. You know, like, I'm cursing my hand for being opaque. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's... Yeah. So, when I look at that, I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be sweet if I had an iPhone that was the size of a table or something, and you could use it like that.
That would be very sweet.
I mean, thereby defeating the purpose of its portability, but... When you see the DS XL, you kind of understand what they might be going for here. With more real estate, you can actually make games where you're literally where your hands don't get in the way. I've run into the same thing. I'm playing The Legend of Zelda: The Phantom Hourglass, which I'm really enjoying. But since you move Link around the screen with the stylus exclusively, which I think was a horrible design choice.
I agree.
It was horrible in Scribblenauts. It's less horrible in Zelda, but... you know, I'm like contorting my wrist backwards to try to like keep it out of the way when I'm on the screen.
Yeah.
And I'm hurting for a bigger screen here.
Yeah, I mean, I brought up a review a long time ago of Steel Princess that was essentially unplayable because of just the sheer contortions your fingers had to do to accomplish anything.
Yeah. So what are some games where you think, instead of fighting against yourself, it's using the portability and using the hardware well? So you said Rolando was probably a good example.
Yeah, Rolando's a good example.
Because you're just tilting it.
But you also use your fingers to select the Rolandos and make them jump.
Okay.
But it doesn't get in the way because it's only a brief connection.
Mm-hmm.
How
about the Spider game?
Spider, the Secret of Bryce Manor on the iPhone, is, I think, uses the iPhone superbly well.
Mm-hmm.
it makes a lot of, it's not the type of game that requires a lot of twitch.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not too many moments where you're worried about where your finger's going to be in any given moment.
And if it gets in the way, big deal. Like, you can just remove your finger and it won't penalize you.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there's, you know, it's very common sense. You click it once and you attach yourself and then you can do the threads.
Yeah.
So by the end of the game, you know, I was moving over really quickly and moving throughout the world. And it also does what I think Infinity does as well pretty well, in my opinion at least, is being able to control the character no matter where your finger is on the screen.
Yeah, yeah. It's been interesting watching that develop because some iPhone games, it seems like, have created a virtual control pad kind of on the left.
Yeah.
And so it the movement is only active when your thumb is in that virtual control pad instead of the entire touchscreen of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like people have kind of clued in, like, oh, this entire screen is touch sensitive. Why cordon it off into one little corner?
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. And I think that's part of why some of the DS games are a little bit less than satisfying when you have to have really good precision on small characters in a small screen. I mean, again, another reason that
we're just talking about Scribblenauts right here.
Yes, yeah. Scribblenauts. But another reason XL might be rad, you know, imagine you have that much more room on Scribblenauts, you know?
It would be great because there were so many times in Scribblenauts where I was trying to select the very end of a rope. And it just wouldn't let me select that end of a rope because it was, you know, 3 pixels wide or something like that.
Instead, you'd touch the helicopter and then your guy would jump off a bridge or
something. Exactly. And then you have to restart the whole thing, which is great for the XL. One of the things that is a little worrisome, though, is aren't there some games where the screen size really matters? Like, there's certain rhythm games where you have to drag the stylus from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen in unison. Wouldn't that kind of throw off the timing, like the beats of the game? Because you'd be enlarging the screen to such an extent.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it getting in the way.
There's more physical space to maneuver.
I think they would, I mean, I think they will crop it in all likelihood for games that require that space size.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be another situation, I think, where we're going to be waiting for games that maximize and utilize more space.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the DSi. I mean, it came out a while ago, but we're still waiting on games that you really utilize the camera to maybe do a layover. So, I mean, there might be some really fat games for the fat XL, you know?
This game's fat.
Fat.
Well, speaking of fat, I mean, it seems like ancient history now, but when the DS originally came out in 2004, it was a bulky little thing. The screens were dimmer as well. And then it was only in the year 2006 when they released the DS Lite that it kind of came into its own as this console that is clearly the leading handheld, I guess followed closely by the iPhone now.
Yeah.
Which is weird to say.
The DS sells constantly. It's constantly at the top of the charts of hardware sales.
Well, because there's great games on it.
Yeah.
And then 3 years later, they have the DSi, which is a small screen increase. Cameras, which, as you mentioned, unfortunately Nintendo hasn't really done anything with yet.
Yeah, so far it's still just an expensive DS.
There's some exceedingly crappy sounding downloadable games that are mostly like clocks and stuff that you can buy. And then sometime for the English-speaking world in 2010, the XL will be dropping. So since 2004, I mean, we've had 4 different DS models. At a certain point, would you rather have them just scrapped it and started a whole new system? New specs, new everything?
Yeah, totally. I don't understand. I mean, it's hard because the game base is still really solid. People are still coming out with really good games on the DS.
And it took them a while to do that.
Yeah, so why rush it, right?
Well,
I'm changing my mind. Yeah. Yes, I do it.
you're just a big flip-flopper. Well, I mean, I don't know, because it always, as a consumer, it always makes me uncomfortable when something like the DS XL or the DSi gets announced, because I feel like, oh, this is great, I'll just buy this right now. And then all of a sudden they announce a brand new one.
Hey, Apple's been doing it for years.
I guess that's true. They're moving to a more, I guess, iPhone-like model.
I mean, my concern with, it's not so much that I want the DS to become superfluous by having a new handheld take its place.
Yeah.
I just think that I don't know if Nintendo should be spending so much of their time and effort on small improvements.
Mm-hmm.
I think the DSi, like, for example, is a really clever idea that they added a camera.
Mm-hmm.
The camera is a really poor camera. It doesn't really serve all that much of a purpose.
Yeah.
There's no games for it to be really using. Mm-hmm. So I think Nintendo should either A, spend more time on making games that utilize the system they already have,
yeah,
or two, just hold off and spend more of that R&D money on developing your next set of handhelds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt that when a new handheld comes out from Nintendo, mm-hmm, it's going to be a solid piece of work. Might be too solid. I mean, it's XL.
It's interesting to think about the next Nintendo handheld, because it's going to have two screens, right?
It's going to have four screens, I think.
The quad
screen. One on the back, one on the side.
Because Nintendo has, of late, been pretty liberal as far as backwards compatibility is concerned. The Wii is backwards compatible with the GameCube. Just up until the DSi, it was backwards compatible with the Game Boy Advance, which is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge library of just regular Nintendo DS games, and you wouldn't want to cut all those people out of the market. It's just interesting now that the standard handheld is one that has two screens on it.
Yeah.
Which makes Sony's strategy even stranger to me in a lot of ways. Because neither one of us have ever owned a Sony handheld.
No.
And
Sega? That's a whole other story.
Have you owned a Sega handheld?
No.
Oh, okay.
N-Gage. No, that's another... No, not that either.
So the PSP came out in 2005, you know, closely on the heels of the DS. I remember for a while there was a big debate as to who was going to become the leader there.
Yeah.
And Nintendo just ended up running away with it. Yeah. And, you know, I can understand why. I mean, the PSP for me was never really that appealing, and it continues not to be appealing because it seems like most of the games designed on it are just designed as console games with a smaller screen.
I completely agree. I mean, yeah. I also think it's a price thing.
Yeah.
The PSP is still relatively expensive. The PS Go is still expensive.
Even more so. The PSP Go costs more than a Wii.
Yeah, I mean, that's nuts.
More than an Xbox 360 arcade.
And the games that I see are games that would theoretically could be played on the console.
I'd much rather play God of War Chains of Olympus on a PS2.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I've missed out on that game. I love the God of War series, but since it's kind of in this cage that is the PSP, I've just completely missed out on it.
I mean, there's still... I'm not going to lie. Like, I do think that there are qualities of the PSP that I really admire.
Wow.
First off, I think the way that they've set up just how it feels, mm-hmm, feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
They have the little analog speaker thing on the right.
The nub.
The nub. I think that is it's a good idea. It opens the doors for more games.
Yeah.
And more ways to, you know, move those characters around.
Especially when you see things like Metroid Prime Hunters on the DS or even Mario 64 on the DS that just feel a little wonky without an analog stick.
I mean, like, what the PSP does, it does very well. So for people who want to play those mature games on their way to work or something on the BART, then it makes a lot of sense.
Well, that's the problem. Like, a mature game is not just, if I understand you correctly, it's not just a thematic thing. It's a format thing. A mature game is something that you sit down and play for a while.
It's something that, it has a level of complexity to it. I mean,
which I think we should change. Like, I would consider Professor Layton a mature game because a kid might not have that patience for it. Mm-hmm. You need a certain level of maturity to play it. But I think we have in our heads this construct of what a mature game is. It's a game where you actually have to sink in an hour at a time. You can't just pick it up and play for a minute here and there. It doesn't carry the same amount of legitimacy. That is to say, like a game like a puzzle game like Tetris or Bust a Move or whatever doesn't have the same artistic merit or something as what we would consider a mature game.
I guess, but I mean, part of it is just we have so many things that we do not consider mature games on the DS. You know, the DS has carved a niche for itself. I mean, there was Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars that I heard was pretty fun. Its sales were abysmal.
Yeah, I played it and it was pretty cool. I don't know. The thing about it is, I don't know if it is conducive to the way people play handheld games.
I mean, in terms of short time length.
Exactly, because I think it did some cool things with the DS hardware and, you know, with the dual screen thing and the touch screen stuff. I thought it was neat what it did, but when I was playing it, I was thinking, you know, I really wish this was on a larger screen with some more dialogue and voice acted things.
And that's where the PSP shines.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think one of the best, highest-selling games for the PSP is Patapon, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you still have a little bit of that market.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It just seems that... I think that what they could have done to make the game both mature and DS-friendly is to forget trying to play an over-the-top GTA game where it's just kind of aping the three-dimensional GTAs that we've had since GTA 3. Just take the drug-dealing minigame and kind of flesh it out to an entire strategy game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an active shooting, driving, quasi-shooter platformer.
Yeah. So you weren't satisfied with the driving mechanics on the DS?
It's sloppy. I mean, it's okay. It doesn't work as well when you have the more rudimentary control setup.
Yeah.
And a smaller screen, you can't get a good scope of the city. But it was really fun doing the drug deal stuff because it's kind of like a mini... it's just kind of like a mini strategy game that they implemented into it. So why don't we just widen that? Create like an RTS GTA where you're taking over grids of the city.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, you know, and you can close up the DS up really quick, put it back in your backpack, and you won't have to remember if you were in mid-jump or being chased by the police.
Yeah.
To be, you know, like turn-based or whatever.
No, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, at some point you're saying that people who are developing software for the handhelds should realize the limitations of the handheld that they're developing for.
Yeah.
And that the DS has, I guess, would you say the DS has more limitations than the PSP?
Well, it just has different ones. I mean, like, you can't, it's much harder to do a cinematic thing on the DS. And I don't think it's necessarily, it doesn't behoove someone to try to do that because you're struggling against what the medium is good at. You know, why, I mean, maybe as an academic exercise, like trying to create, you know, why would you try to create a portrait or a tableau using film? You know, it's just not what the medium shines. It's not what the medium is best used for.
Well, then what attracts you to the handhelds?
What attracts me to the handhelds is stuff that well, I mean, this sounds kind of dumb, but is portable. Like playing Professor Layton, you can take it with you. You don't have to have a huge screen for it. It also is cool using the touch stuff because you can write notes to yourself, you can make little diagrams, and you just can't do that on your TV.
Yeah.
Unless it was the Wii. And
you oh, God, there's Sharpie all over my TV.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's something that more games should implement. And I think it's cool because we are getting more and more into the idea of a touchscreen becoming standard. Like, I can't believe that the PSP Go doesn't have a touchscreen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's clearly trying to be an iPod, even the way it's designed and the way the screen looks. Why not have a touchscreen?
Yeah.
The DS has had a touchscreen for nearly 6 years now. Get with the times.
Jeez, yes, I mean, God.
And plus, it's $50 more than that.
Yeah, I mean, I like that they're not cowing down to what people want. They don't want to make themselves another form of the DS, I think.
Yeah,
You know, and that's admirable.
I guess they could be learning from what... the old, like, say maybe they're not, I don't know, they're probably not learning from the old Sega Game Boy and Sega Game Gear versus Nintendo Game Boy battles, because the Sega handhelds were always more overpowered than the Game Boys.
That's true.
We didn't even remember how long the original Game Boy lasted. The Game Boy Color, all you got was color. You didn't really get any real graphical enhancements or anything.
Yeah, and it was huge.
It was enormous. And the Game Gear and the Nomad, they outpaced that stuff. Unfortunately, it ate through batteries like there was no tomorrow.
Well, to be fair, I think that PSP Go is a marked improvement on the original PSP.
Yeah.
I think the design of it is nice. Sony's also been trying to
screen do... Screen smaller, though.
It's slightly smaller, yeah. But, I mean, it's still larger than the DS screen.
True. And higher resolution.
And Sony's been trying to implement their downloadable system, and they're pushing it harder with the PSP Go. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you can't not download things.
Right, exactly.
For the PSP Go.
So I don't know whether or not the infrastructure is there to have a lot of really cool, innovative games be as accessible as they are on something like the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the iPhone has just seized on that market of tons and tons of developers producing a lot of games that are really easy to access.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sony is making an admirable effort to try to accomplish the same thing. Mm-hmm. Something the DS has not even tried to do, arguably.
Well, now with the new store that they've tried to implement.
But I mean, like, has that... I don't think...
No, it's not.
It's not been working for them.
It hasn't because, like you said about the infrastructure, the iPhone has a great starting point because it's integrated with iTunes and the store that they have built around iTunes. But I think the influence of Apple is pretty cool in that it is pushing people more towards this idea of a marketplace that people can get into.
I agree. And this is what attracts me so much to handhelds in general, because I feel like they are an important space in which people can try and experiment with mm-hmm. new things. A lot of the games that shine on the DS that I've liked in particular have been weird in some way, shape, or form. They're not normal. They're not something that I would find on the console. Mm-hmm. The iPhone's been doing it. The DS has been doing it. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I think the PSP doesn't sell so well is because they're not known for doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of cool to take stock every once in a while, especially when something weird like the DSi XL comes out. I still don't know exactly quite what they're doing with it, because the resolution's not going to be that much more. It's going to be identical, I think. They're literally blowing it up.
Yeah, and pretty soon it's just going to be console size.
You're just going to carry it around
in your backpack.
I mean, one thing I've heard is that they're trying to market it more towards older folks that have a hard time.
It's because everyone else has bought it. They're the only market to.
I guess so. Yeah, you can have a family of DSs.
There you go.
Gramps and Grandma can have the huge ones.
That's so weird.
Little Billy can have the other one. I don't know. I if they're not just going to turn around and release a much better DSi or next generation system after they release the XL, that's cool. I'm all for accessibility. I just have this weird feeling in the pit of my stomach that a bunch of people are going to buy the big screen, and then a year later, another huge screen, but
even
much higher resolution, touch camera. I just have a feeling that's gonna
happen.
But that's just me. I live in perpetual fear of handhelds.
And old people.
All right. Well, if you folks want to write in with your current favorite handhelds, or just kind of the direction of where the market is going, your thoughts on it, you can do so right to experiencepoints@gmail.com.
I also don't hear too many people talking about the iPhone games too often. So if you've an iPhone and you play some iPhone games, let us know in the comments section.
Yeah.
You can also comment on any of our posts. We update Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings. And the site again is experiencepoints.blogspot.com.
All right. Until next time, folks. Have fun.
Extra large fun.